and ask you please to turn back with me to 1 Samuel and chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We will be looking at various verses throughout this chapter. But I suppose if we were to take a text for this morning, for today, it would be that latter phrase in verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Throughout Scripture, the Christian has been compared to holding a number of different occupations. He has been described in God's Word as an athlete, running a race with obstacles, yes, a race with hurdles, yet a race with a prize always before him. And as an athlete, we are exhorted, as Paul says in Hebrews, to run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian has also been compared to a student, one who studies the Word of God and continually seeks to increase their knowledge of His Word. Not so that we can boast about our knowledge, but rather that we can know more of God. And as Paul exhorts young Timothy, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." But perhaps one of the most striking and yet one of the most difficult comparisons, I believe, for the child of God is that of a soldier. A soldier enlisted in the army of God whose sole aim is to defend the cause of Christ against a fierce and often a formidable foe. A soldier who is to fight the good fight of faith and to defend the standards and the principles of God. Now we all know today that there are within certain Christian circles those who are very uncomfortable with such a comparison. They don't like to be compared to a soldier. They feel that the Christians shouldn't be confrontational. They feel that they should just let things go for the sake of an easy life. But I believe that today God calls us very clearly in His Word to defend His cause and to defend His kingdom, and as a soldier to stand up in an evil world against sin and against wickedness. And in this chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we have recorded for us one of the greatest battles, I believe, for truth and for righteousness. For this was a battle with a difference. This was not a long, drawn-out warfare as we are often used to. This did not involve a host of armies. This battle only involved one weapon, which was not even a weapon of warfare. For 40 days, morning and evening, the great giant of the Philistines, Goliath, came forth to the front line of the battle and called out in that battle cry for the challenge. He was up for the fight. Of course he would be. He was ready for battle. We have a very graphic description of Goliath in the opening verses of chapter 17. This was every bit the soldier. But for 40 days that call to battle went unchallenged. And for 40 days the armies of Israel, who we've got to remember were very experienced soldiers, shied away from the battle. In verse 11, we read that they were greatly afraid. They didn't want the battle that Goliath was looking for, that in the providence of God, young David was sent by his father to go with foodstuffs to his brothers in the army. And as he went and as he talked with his brothers, he heard the morning cry of Goliath. And he saw the fear that there was in the hearts of the Israelite army. But for David, his response was somewhat different. In verse 26, we read that he responded there at the end of verse 26, that who should defy the armies of the living God? You see, for David, he just couldn't simply stand by and let this bully, as he saw it, have his way. Oh, he was too young to serve in the army. But he was not going to stand back and not get involved. And so as he saw the opposition in front of him, and as he sees the cause of Christ being undermined, his cry goes up in verse 29, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is the glory of his Savior not worth standing up for? Is the cause of Jesus Christ not worth defending? And so as he steps up to the mark, apparently ill-equipped, yet he was sure what he was doing was right. If nobody else was prepared to stand up for God, he was. If nobody else was prepared to stand up for the glory of God, then he was. And I believe this battle call of David teaches us many great lessons today. Because we still have a cause worth defending. We still have a cause that's worth standing up for. I'm not talking about a cause for queen or country, all of which is proper and right, course. But I'm talking about defending the cause of Jesus Christ. Defending the standards that God has laid down in his word. Defending his kingdom and seeking to bring glory to his name. Therefore, as we consider some of these verses in chapter 17, and in particular that verse 29, we want to do so as we consider the subject of David's call to battle. David's call to battle. I want you to notice first of all with me here the resolve that David displayed. The resolve that David displayed is, we've already said, he was not going to be intimidated. He saw the task that had to be carried out. In verse 26, he says, what shall be done? You see, rather than looking for excuses not to attack, rather than looking for excuses not to get stuck into the opposition, David was up for the battle. He was determined that something had to be done, even though it seemed impossible. Even though it seemed difficult. Because he was concerned about the cause of Christ. You see, for David, if the Israelite army had given in, if they had fled the battlefield, then the cause of Christ would have been harmed, would have been tarnished. And so in verse 32 he says, thy servant will go. He resolves that he will take up the cause. He will fight the Philistine. As we consider the resolve that he displayed, I want you to see further here his faith. Because by this stage here, David was appointed by God to be the next king of Israel. We all know how that Saul had failed. And God was in complete control, as he always is. And God had David anointed to be the next king of Israel. And back in chapter 16, and in the verse 13, we have a beautiful picture here of David and his anointing. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And here it is, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. David's faith as he faced the battle was firmly fixed in his Saviour and in his Master. The Spirit of God was upon him. And as David faces the greatest battle of his young life so far, he points to a time when God was with him in the past. As we read there in verses 34 and 33 to 36 of chapter 17, where he slew the lion and the bear. And even in that matter, he sees the hand of God. And therefore, as he stands to face the battle now, he's firm in the faith and firm in the belief that God, who was with him in the past, would not fail him now. God would give him the victory once again. And as David stood, and as he faced Goliath, he was sure of victory. Look what he says over in verse 46, chapter 17. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. All this was fighting talk. I'm sure to the other soldiers standing around, he was saying all the right things, seeking to unnerve the enemy. My friend, this was not some idle pre-war morale boosting talk. This was a faith that David had in his God that he would be victorious. David lived close to God. David, as we all know, was a man after God's own heart. Oh yes, he failed. But praise God, failure is never final for God. David lived close to God. David had his faith firmly fixed in his Master. Therefore, he did not see a great giant. Rather, he saw a great God. Not only his faith, but notice as well with me here his courage and his confidence. You see, David wasn't a soldier. David had no training in the art of warfare. He had no schooling in the art of wielding a sword or how best to defend the enemy. Or defeat the enemy. But that didn't put him off. His lack of ability in the art of warfare, his lack of experience in the battlefield, wasn't going to deter him. Even Goliath laughed in the face of such a weak opposition as he sought. Verse 42. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him For he was but a youth, ruddy and of a fair countenance. But David was still courageous. He had a task to do. But notice the source of that courage. We see it there in verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield." These are the weapons of war, of course they are. But look what David says. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, that name before whom devils fear and fly, that name which is above every name, that name which is all-powerful and all-prevailing." Solomon says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is powerful. It reflects his character. And it was in that strength that David came to this battle. You read over in 2 Chronicles, in the chapter 14, King Asa, and he's on a warfare as well with the Ethiopians. And in verse 11 he says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee." And here's it all. "And in thy name, in thy name we go against this multitude." Child of God today, as we face the opposition of the world, as we face all that this world has to throw at the child of God and to throw at Christ ultimately, let's always remember that we come to the battle not in our own strength, but with our faith firmly fixed in Christ and our strength firmly grounded in him and in the name of Jesus Christ. We fight in his name, we fight for his name. We must, like David, be resolved to defend the cause of Christ. We must, like David, stand up for Christ and his cause in this day and generation. David displayed resolve, but I want you to notice as well with me here the resistance that David encountered. As David sought to take a stand, as he sought to defend the cause of Christ, he encountered resistance and he encountered opposition. How sad, yet how true it often is, that those who have the greatest burden and the work and zeal for God can sometimes come up against great opposition. One Bible commentator said, "What you can count on the most when serving well is criticism." And I'm sure we've all been there. We've all received it. And David was no different. His resistance came from two different directions. First of all, it came from his family. As we read there in verse 28, Eliab became angry when he heard of David's plan. He was criticized by his own brother who, let's not forget, was in this very same army. No doubt that made the criticism all the more painful. Oh, we can take criticism from the enemy. But when we get it from those who should be encouraging and who should be supporting us, it can be painful. Look what Eliab was criticizing David for, verse 28. He says, "Why camest thou down hither? David, you're not even a soldier. What are you doing here on the battlefield?" Little did he realize that David was carrying out the commands of his father. He was there in obedience to his father. And then he goes further and he says, "With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Oh, David, you're some shepherd. What about the sheep? Who's taking care of the sheep? Who's watching the sheep? But if only Eliab had checked his facts, he would have realized that David, being the true shepherd that he really was, had left his sheep with the keeper in verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. He was trying to belittle David. He says, "I know thy pride. I'm your big brother. I know exactly what you're like, David." But in truth, he didn't. In truth, he didn't. And look what he says at the end of verse 28. "For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." There was no battle. There was no fight. Eliab and all his brave soldiers were not willing to fight. There was no battle for David, even if he wanted to come down to see it anyway. David didn't try to answer his critic. Rather, he issued a challenge. And he turned to Eliab and he said, "Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? He had resistance from his family. He had resistance also from the king, the head of the army. Look what Saul says to him in verse 33. Saul said to David, "Thou art not able." David, you see, this just is not possible. Saul was the man that the people wanted to be their leader. And as their leader, he had the position as the head of the army. And now he's saying to a young man who wanted to fight in the battle, he says, "You're not able to do it." Why did he say that? Because Saul was a man who was far from God. Turn back again to chapter 16. And in verse 14 we have very, very sad words. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." Saul no longer saw the power of God. Saul was far from God, and as he viewed the battle, and as he saw the inability of this young shepherd boy, he says, "You're not able to do it." Young people, there will be those who may criticize. There will be. And there will be those who, when we seek to do something for God, will say, "He's not just up for it. Hasn't the experience here of this great army." But never let that opposition, never let that resistance put us off. David faced opposition. He faced resistance from the very people who should have been supporting him and encouraging him. The resolve David displayed, the resistance David encountered. But notice as well with me here the strategy that David employed. Saul is given in. Verse 37. He now allows David to go and fight. Saul said unto David, "Go." David was just about to step up to the mark. Just about to come face to face with Goliath. And he had a strategy. He had a plan of attack. It wasn't very complex. It wasn't very difficult. He didn't have an armor. So Saul gave him his armor. But David realized that Saul's armor was no use to him. And so he threw it off. What's the strategy he takes? What's the plan he adopts? 5 stones and a sling. 5 smooth stones and a sling. And when you think about it, you realize that if David had been arrayed when the armory of battle, the spear and the sword and all the rest of it, it would have been no use. Poking at the giant's feet with a sword was hardly going to kill him. He took those 5 smooth stones. Smooth in order to give more power. 5 in Word of God speaks of the grace of God, and it was by the grace of God that he would defeat this enemy. This weaponry didn't seem like much. Can you picture it? The young shepherd boy going to the giant Goliath with 5 stones in a sling. How was he ever going to defeat Goliath in that way? They took the 1st stone. Put it into a sling. And the stone went straight into Goliath's forehead.
strategy he employed, but finally, the reward David enjoyed. Verse 49. Very end of the verse. And he, Goliath, fell upon his face to the earth. Goliath fell to the ground dead. In spite of all the opposition from within, in spite of all the ridicule, David's victory was swift. David's victory was decisive. David had won. And the enemy had been defeated. If David wasn't willing to defend the cause of Christ, if he was not willing to serve God in this way, he would never have enjoyed the rewards that he did. But above all, this was not a victory for David. This was a victory for God. David did what he did for the glory of God. The end of verse 46, why is he wanting to defeat Goliath? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Why are we encouraged to take our stand for God? Why are we encouraged to be a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ? To see how great and how powerful we are? To see how better we are than somebody else? No. That all the world may know, let's bring it local, that all in Ballymoney may know that there is a God. And that he is worth defending. Why did Goliath lie dead there in the valley of Elah? Because David was a great soldier? No. Because David had fought so many battles before, he knew what to do? No. But because David was prepared to take a stand for God. They that honour me, God says, I will honour. Child of God, today you honour Christ, you take your stand for him, he will honour you. Is there not a cause? Is the opposition today any less? No. We live in an evil, a wicked and a sinful world. We see it on every hand. God's day is desecrated. God's name is abused. God's standards and God's honour is under constant and continual attack. And God calls us as his people, like David, to take our stand, to stand up for God and to be counted. Others may not be willing to stand. But never let that put us off. Let us defend the cause of Christ. Let us stand up and be counted today in this world in which we live. Let's identify ourselves to be on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? May may we say, even in the words of that hymn that we have been singing, Saviour, we are thine.